question, what do you believe? Right away, we're stumped, right? And we stammer something like, we can believe whatever we want. Even though we know, as we say it, that that somehow doesn't seem to convey the whole of what we want to share. Yes, technically we can believe whatever we want, and I'm guaranteed freedom of the pulpit up here. But you don't come expecting to hear a sermon about God's judgment of us, or about eternal hellfire, about the need for obedience from a wife and a marriage, or anything that would dismiss or undermine the inherent worth and dignity of all people. We are a non-creedal religion, meaning that none of us needs to conform to a statement of shared belief in order to be here. Come, come, whoever you are. But if I started preaching hellfire and brimstone, I probably wouldn't be invited back. But neither would I be stripped of my congregational membership or even denied ministerial fellowship. The closest thing we have to excommunication in Unitarian Universalism is the icy withdrawal of friendship and fellowship. Don't get me wrong, that cold shoulder is enough to end ministries, and it has. It is also enough to rebuff people who don't share enough of our values. Like other non-creedal faiths, we do have central and shared beliefs. Quakers are non-creedal, but nevertheless share a belief in the possibility of direct, unmediated communion with the divine. Disciples of Christ are non-creedal, but nevertheless share a statement of identity, that's what they call it, that affirms their belief that they are part of one body of Christ. It's a pretty specific belief. Unitarian Universalists are non-creedal, but we nevertheless share beliefs that we summarize in our seven union principles. Our particular non-creedalism is broader and more open than any other faith tradition that I know of, anyway. And so let's recognize that our uniqueness is part of what makes it hard to share with people what we're about. We're something most people have never heard of or imagined. Personally, I think there are better answers to the question, what do you believe? And I'm going to go so far as to suggest it would be all right to say we believe three things. We believe that every person has inherent worth and dignity. We believe that all existence is interdependent. And we believe that truth and meaning is found through free and responsible search. These are three of our principles turned into belief statements. We aren't used to hearing them this way. There is much to explore and debate about any of these, especially since we're Unitarian Universalists. And there are certainly more shared beliefs we could offer the curious. But I see these three principles as crucial to understanding what we're about and what we have always been about. Now, I think that third one, we believe that truth and meaning is found through a free and responsible search. That's the one that's especially complicated for anyone who hears it for the first time. It's definitely complicated for anyone who has an assumption that church is about being told what to believe. It would be simpler to just talk about the other two principles, definitely. But we have never been about pithy marketing. And we need to be careful when we talk about this principle. We need to be careful to name that our search for truth and meaning is not just free. It's not just free. It must also be responsible. Our overemphasis on freedom is what prompts us to say we can believe whatever we want. We forget about the responsible part. And I think we do that because we aren't always quite sure what that means. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. Responsible to whom? And responsible for what? To be responsible is to be accountable. To be accountable is to be in relationship with someone or something. Embedded in a principle that easily reads as an affirmation of individualism, the free and responsible search for truth and meaning, the idea that each of us gets to discern for ourselves what we believe. Embedded here is the implicit notion that our search can only occur in a context of accountability. To, I would suggest, a larger community. Now, some of us might bristle at the idea that we are accountable to someone else for our beliefs. Our culture privileges freedom above other values, such as compassion, family, education, civility, even common sense. Almost any behavior short of breaking the law is acceptable these days. You know this if you watch reality television. In our reaction to oppressive societal mores that codify what behavior is acceptable and what behavior is not, and woe to you who fall outside the realm of acceptable behavior. In our reaction to that, we have swung the pendulum perhaps too far in a different direction. We are in danger, I fear, of forgetting what responsibility and accountability to others means. The irony of this is that we think responsibility to others limits our freedom instead of understanding that that responsibility is the source of our freedom. Nobody understood that better than James Luther Adams, who wrote our responsive reading this morning. Adams was a Unitarian minister, ethicist, and theologian. He's considered one of the finest theologians of the 20th century. His theology was heavily influenced by his time spent in Germany just prior to World War II. He witnessed the rise of the Nazi Party and the failure of religious liberals to adequately respond. He spent much of the rest of his life challenging liberal religion to strengthen and deepen our engagement with each other, with our communities, and with the political democratic process. Now, I'm going to be talking about Adams a lot in the next few minutes, and I'm going to be quoting him a lot. It's important to me that you understand why. This is someone who came out of Nazi Germany asking himself relentlessly for the rest of his life, how could we as religious liberals keep this from happening again? What could have stopped Nazism? And all of his theology was a response to that wondering. Adams saw in our congregations the freedom of association, voluntary associations. He observed, every totalitarian theory rejects just this freedom. Indeed, the rejection of freedom of association, the rejection of the freedom to form groups, can serve voluntary association calls us into relationship and into accountability. Adams writes, "The voluntary association at its best offers an institutional framework within which the give and take of discussion may be promoted. An institutional framework within which a given consensus may be brought under criticism and subjected to change." In other words, our voluntary association is not about agreeing with each other. It's about engaging with each other. If I were to tell you the still small voice within me tells me to contribute more of my time fighting for immigration justice, you would affirm, I think, that I should respond to that gut feeling, that I should answer that call. That is a way that I test what I feel inside. If I were to tell you the still small voice within me calls me to harm myself, you would challenge me. You would encourage me to seek mental health care. You might even report me to authorities for threatening to do harm. And rightly so. Here, we hold each other in a network of love and accountability. Yes, we do get to decide for ourselves what to believe. But we must do so in relationship and accountability to one another. This is how we appropriately test and criticize even our own beliefs, because our beliefs lead us to action. Adams tells us, the only way in which we can reliably form and transform beliefs is through the sharing of traditions and new insights, and through the cooperative criticism and testing of tradition and insight. In other words, says Adams, we must sincerely work with each other in order to give reliable form and expression to faith. This is the only way in which freedom from tyranny can be fulfilled in freedom with justice and truth. Writing over 60 years ago, Adams already saw the dangers of our liberal faith tradition, warning us, belief in merely individualistic, splintering freedom of faith can lead only to blandness, to a faith in I know not what, to faith in the arbitrary. Remember his words we spoke together just a while ago. I call that church free, which brings individuals into a caring, trusting fellowship that protects and nourishes their integrity and spiritual freedom. It is open to insight and conscience from every source. It bursts through rigid tradition, giving rise to new and living language, to new and broader fellowship. To me, this is what lies at the heart of our free and responsible search for truth and meaning. Individuals brought into the caring, trusting fellowship of congregational community. Our integrity and freedom protected and nourished here. Our on whose survey you look at. There appear to be a half million people who consider themselves Unitarian Universalists without belonging to or attending one of our congregations. This is true even though our Church of the Larger Fellowship offers an entirely online religious community for people not physically close to one of our congregations. The Church of the Larger Fellowship is our largest congregation. I think those who consider themselves Unitarian Universalists without attending a congregation have missed the very essence of Unitarian Universalism. Our faith tradition calls us to be in relationship to one another, to comfort each other, to support each other, to search together, to be responsible to and for one another. There is no responsible search for truth and meaning outside of community. The question, what do you believe, turns out, I think, to be the wrong question. That's a question for rigid tradition. A question that assumes we're done exploring what we believe. And it's a question that assumes religion is about what we believe rather than what we do. I think the real question is, why do we gather together? Why do we come here when there are so many other things we could be doing? James Luther Adams tells us ours is a pilgrim church. The pilgrim, that traveler on a journey to a holy place. And he calls ours an adventure of the spirit. Unitarian Universalist minister Lynn Unger, adapting words from the Sufi mystic Rumi, suggests ours is a caravan, a group of travelers. I agree with both of them. We gather together as travelers, bound in an interdependent web of mutuality and accountability, freedom and responsibility. Each of us rattling along in our own wagon, individuals brought into a caring, trusting fellowship. Richly colored canopies flap overhead in the breeze, providing protection as we travel on. We share food and drink and love, nourishment of body and spirit, sustenance to face the unknown ahead of us. Our shared insights transforming rigid tradition, birthing something new, throwing open our doors ever wider. We are on an adventure of the spirit. We are free, yes. And in our freedom, we have chosen to travel together. We believe every person has inherent worth and dignity. We believe that all existence is interdependent. And we believe that truth and meaning is found through a free